Hi, I'm Edie, and I always enjoy reading best of lists. I can't get enough of them, Leia.
Ah, well, I'm Leia, and I love TV sitcom episodes where they revisit past seasons, like the flashback episode on Friends where Joey gets naked in Monica's apartment.
What?
We're the two chit-chat chicks.
Today, we are going to revisit our favorite moments from our 2020 podcasts.
Yes, kind of like a flashback, right?
Yes, and kind of like a best of list.
Okay, so Edie, I will choose segments that involve you, and you can choose segments that involve me.
All right, simple enough. Well, April the Pony was a huge hit with both our listeners and me, your success partner. Who would think that finally getting the pony of your dreams would turn into such a nightmare? April the Pony sure caused you, Leia the youngster, a lot of trauma. Let's listen in.
Okay, let's listen. I'm going to be traumatized all over again.
All right, Leia, tell us something about your 10-year-old self.
Okay, well, the first thing that pops into my mind is when I was 10 years old, I got a pony, a Shetland pony named April.
Oh, and no one has a pony.
Well, I had a pony, but it took me until I was 10 to persuade my father to get me a pony. And my neighbor, Leanne Fisher, had a pony, and I would ride. She had a couple ponies, actually, and we would ride together, and I loved it. And I read all these books about horses and, you know, I can't even remember what they were called, but they'd go to the tack room and saddle up the horses, and all these teenagers would ride away, right, and have fun and adventures on their horses. So I just kept begging for a pony because we lived on a farm. And one day my dad came home and he said, oh, I got you a pony for free from some people down the road. And the hitch was that this pony was not trained. And so my dad said, you and I, we're going to make this, we're going to train this pony.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
Is a pony like always a pony, or is a pony like a young horse?
No,
is a pony always a pony?
A pony is always a pony. Otherwise, you've got a foal or a colt.
I feel like we use those words incorrectly when we're teaching farm animals to children.
Just maybe. Or maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? But this pony was already an older pony.
An old pony. Mm-hmm. Okay.
An old, stubborn, horrible, horrible pony. A Shetland pony who had a mind of her own. So, you know, my dad got a saddle and a bridle and a bit and all the things that you need to ride and train a pony, and break a pony. That's what it's called, to break.
Oh.
You break a horse. And we never managed to break her, but she certainly managed to break me. I was just, from day one, I was terrified of her. I think she bit me on the first day that we got her. And the agreement was that every day after school, I would come home and I would bridle her up and ride her. And It was horrendous. I would take her out into the back 40. We had an 11-acre farm. And she would buck me off every single time and run, you know, bite me and buck me off.
No.
And she was, I know we're not supposed to swear on the podcast, so.
She was a stinker.
She was a stinker. She was. Oh, my gosh. So we ended up, I think, April lasted maybe about 8 months, and I was so stressed. I nearly needed counseling. I wouldn't come home from school. I was like clapping the erasers and offering to stay late to do all manner of things because I did not want to come home and ride that stinking pony. So finally we gave her to someone else. And do I ride horses today? How has that informed my 55-year-old self? I will not go near a horse.
Yeah.
No, I'm terrified of horses. Have no interest in riding them. We did once in Inner Mongolia. We rode horses. And that was also a very, very bad experience. So I'm I'm done. No more horses for this gal.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I was right. I'm re-traumatized just hearing that, Edie.
Oh, Shetland ponies are nasty beasts, Leia.
Yes, they are. Oh, okay, on to you, Edie. Here is a tip from Edie's neighbor, Joyce, on being non-judgmental. I've used it many times since hearing it way back in episode 3.
Today, I would like to tell you a phrase that I have learned from my 83-year-old neighbor, Joyce. Joyce is the Gladys Kravitz of the neighborhood.
Oh, hang on. Who's Gladys Kravitz again?
You know, that noisy neighbor from Bewitched who was always hiding in bushes and screaming.
I do. I remember her.
So Joyce is like Gladys Kravitz.
Got it.
Well, Joyce once shared with me that she had to change her strongly held Catholic values if she wanted to continue having relationships with her family and friends. She had to rethink people, having kids and not getting married. She had to overlook the 40-year age difference between her cousin and his wife.
Ooh.
The phrase she constantly uses is, "Neither here nor there." This lets me know that she isn't passing judgment. For example, she'll say to me, "She's been married 3 times. Neither here nor there." Or, "Yes, he was in prison for drugs. Neither here nor there." I use this phrase all the time. It comes in handy when I say something, you know, a tad judgmental.
Judgy.
Like, "She has the same hairstyle she had in the 80s. Neither here nor there." Or, "He says he hasn't read a book since high school. Neither here nor there." Joyce is a delight. I think you're going to have to meet her from an acceptable distance, of course. But she's sometimes in her front yard, but most of the time she's being whisked away by relatives and friends.
Oh, I bet she is. Oh, I love her beyond words, Edie. And I would love to meet Joyce. Well, I never did get to meet her, Edie, but I did see her many times from your living room window, sweeping her driveway.
She is so industrious. In fact, I ran into her on one of my walks the other day, and she did something was neither here nor there.
Again.
I think it was her granddaughter who's living in sin with someone. Neither here nor there. No one cares.
Well done. Well, that's her shtick, and I love it.
Yes, Joyce.
Joyce. Okay. We love Joyce. Okay.
So, Leia, hearing about your family road trips for the first time was such a treat. My family had such boring road trips by comparison. I especially liked learning about your dad's special connection with Tina Turner. If I remember right, Tina would send your family Christmas cards every year. So can we refresh our memories about how that came to be?
Yes, please. Okay.
How about you, Leia? Do you remember any road trips from when you were a kid?
How could I forget? We would regularly drive to California from our house in the Fraser Valley in British Columbia. It was about 24 hours to get to LA. My dad was a teacher, so he had summers and weekends off, though he often drove coach bus as well. We went along on so many bus trips.
Where'd you go?
Mostly just around Vancouver. He'd often drop people off at the cruise ship terminal.
Not anymore.
No more cruise ships. Nope. But we did get to go on the Love Boat once. And my dad once drove Tina Turner and her entourage to Seattle on the executive coach. Now, they became fast friends, and she sent us Christmas cards for years.
What? No way!
Really? He had a lot to say about her legs.
I bet.
I think he got front row tickets to her concert. He was pretty blown away by it.
Did he go to the concert?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that is nuts. I have many questions about that, but that's a whole episode, I think. Probably. The Tina Turner episode.
Maybe we could interview my father.
But what about car trips?
Oh, yes, car trips. Well, as you might have guessed, my dad is quite a character and also quite spontaneous. So he would just announce out of the blue, "Everyone, get packed. We're driving to LA in 2 hours."
Seriously?
Totally serious. We'd run around shoving stuff into duffel bags and pile into the 40 Conna line and just drive through the night.
You didn't stop?
Well, some trips we did, but often there was a mattress thrown in the back of our fully upholstered in vinyl by my dad, floor to ceiling van, complete with the bubble window. And we'd just sleep back there and my parents would take turns driving. Oh, listen to this. And my dad went through this phase where he was into jogging. So right on the interstate, he'd have my mom drive along the side of the road, and we would all have to get out of the car and jog along behind the van.
That's crazy, and it's not even legal.
Yeah, just a bit. Oh. My mom would just cruise along like she was the mom from the Partridge Family, and we'd be puffing along the side of the I-5 in our tube socks and short shorts with my dad leading the way. It was insane. Oh, my! What a nutty family we were. Did you know that my dad still is outside every day walking nearly 8 hours?
What?
Yeah, just going and going. He needs to move, that guy, whether he's on Interstate 5 or Marshall Road in Abbotsford.
Wow, he is such a character, Leah. My parents complain about their 1 hour walk, so I know they listen to the podcast. So, Mom and Dad, stop your whining. Leah's dad is walking 8 hours. Get going.
Pick it up.
Pick it up.
Oh, man. Mary Lou and Tim, pick it up. No, you're doing great. Okay, so in episode 5, Edie, Keeping in Touch, you talk about the lost art of letter writing. And there's a hilarious segment in here where you share a bit from a correspondence with your British pen pal, Joseph. So let's listen in. Now you've got something.
I do, and this is quite a treasure too.
Yes.
It is a letter that I received from my British pen pal, Joseph.
Ooh.
I'm just going to delight you with a part of it. He writes, "Last week I quit my job I've had for 17 months and gave back my Jeep. My dad and I are not on talking terms. This week I'm going down to the American Embassy in London and I'm tempted to apply for a 1-year visa to America, land of hope and glory." So he goes on and on, but this is how he signs it. "Love, your future husband, Joe."
Oh, my.
Yeah, X. And then a little arrow that says, "I know that scared you." That's still scaring me.
Right? So have you heard from Joe in the last few years?
No. That ended many years ago when he sent me a picture of himself wearing a white Speedo. Goodbye.
Oh, dear Joseph. Who could forget him and his sexy bathing suit? Eek! Oh, anyway, Leah, I am still haunted by your reading of Anne of Green Gables. I'm not even kidding. You did such an excellent job of transporting us to Prince Edward Island. Don't you think rereading an Anne book would be a super hooga thing to do over the holidays? Well, let's listen again as you treat us to the portion of the book when Anne arrives at Green Gables.
Marilla came briskly forward as Matthew opened the door. But when her eyes fell on the odd little figure in the stiff, ugly dress with the long braids of red hair and the eager, luminous eyes, she stopped short in amazement. "Matthew Cuthbert, who's that?" she exclaimed. Where is the boy? There wasn't any boy, said Matthew wretchedly. There was only her. He nodded at the child, remembering that he had never even asked her name. No boy, but there must have been a boy, insisted Marilla. We sent word to Mrs. Spencer to bring a boy. Well, she didn't. She brought her. I asked the station master, and I had to bring her home. She couldn't be left there, no matter where the mistake had come in. Well, this is a pretty piece of business, exclaimed Marilla. During this dialogue, the child had remained silent, her eyes roving from one to the other, all the animation fading out of her face. Suddenly, she seemed to grasp the full meaning of what had been said. Dropping her precious carpet bag, she sprang forward a step and clasped her hands. You don't want me, she cried. You don't want me because I'm not a boy. I might have expected it. Nobody ever did want me. I might have known it was all too beautiful to last. I might have known nobody really did want me. Oh, what shall I do? I'm going to burst into tears. Burst into tears she did, sitting down on a chair by the table, flinging her arms out upon it, and burying her face in them, she proceeded to cry stormily. Marilla and Matthew looked at each other deprecatingly across the stove. Neither of them knew what to say or do. Finally, Marilla stepped lamely into the breach. Well, well, there's no need to cry so about it. Yes, there is a need! The child raised her head quickly, revealing a tear-stained face and trembling lips. You would cry, too, if you were an orphan and had come to a place you thought was going to be home and found that they didn't want you because you weren't a boy. Oh, this is the most tragical thing that has ever happened to me. Something like a reluctant smile, rather rusty from long disuse, mellowed Marilla's grim expression. Well, don't cry any more. We're not going to turn you out of doors tonight. You'll have to stay here until we investigate this affair. What's your name? The child hesitated for a moment. Will you please call me Cordelia? She said eagerly. Call you Cordelia? Is that your name? Well, no, it's not exactly my name, but I would love to be called Cordelia. It's such a perfectly elegant name. I don't know what on earth you mean. If Cordelia isn't your name, what is? Anne Shirley reluctantly faltered forth the owner of that name. But oh, please do call me Cordelia. It can't matter much to you what you call me if I'm only going to be here a little while, can it? And Anne is such an unromantic name. Unromantic fiddlesticks, said the unsympathetic Marilla. Anne is a real good, plain, sensible name. You've no need to be ashamed of it. Oh, I'm not ashamed of it, explained Anne, only I like Cordelia better. I've always imagined that my name was Cordelia. At least, I always have of late years. When I was young, I used to imagine it was Geraldine, but I like Cordelia better now. But if you call me Anne, please call me Anne, spelled with an E. What difference does it make how it's spelled? Asked Marilla with another rusty smile as she picked up the teapot. Oh, it makes such a difference. It looks so much nicer. When you hear a name pronounced, can't you always see it in your mind, just as if it was printed out? I can, and A-N-N looks dreadful, but A-N-N-E looks so much more distinguished. If you'll only call me Anne, spelled with an E, I shall try to reconcile myself to not being called Cordelia.
Oh, excellent, excellent reading, Leia.
Ooh, I do have a mesmerizing voice, don't I, Edie?
Yes.
People have suggested I create online meditations.
Or, Leia, you could read on Audible. I would download every book you read.
Oh, great idea. Make some extra money.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of jobs, Edie, in episode 13, you talk about what you wore to a job interview. Do you remember that?
Oh, remind me, Leia. Remind me.
Okay, I have one. I'm not ever going to wear a romper again, whether in short or long pant form. You know, they're those one-piece outfits with an elastic or a tie waist. They kind of feel like they're for little kids, not adults. Plus, they're too hard to go to the bathroom in.
I accidentally wore a romper to a job interview.
What?
It was hunter green with tiny yellow roses on it. I thought I was just stopping by human resources to pick up an application, but I was hustled into a room for a job interview, which was shocking. Milwaukee was obviously desperate for an eighth grade science teacher, and I got the job despite being an English teacher.
And being in a romper.
And wearing a romper.
Can you even believe that, Leia? Oh, that would only happen in Milwaukee public schools.
Well, I am sure you were adorable and competent. Mm-hmm. They hired you because you proved that you would be a competent teacher in spite of wearing a romper.
Well, Leia, we would be remiss if we didn't include the tip you had. The tip of the Maybelline Superstay Matte Ink.
Oh,
it
yes.
It was by far our most popular tip. Let's listen to the tip again in case some listeners need to be reminded.
Okay.
Leia, what's your beauty tip?
Okay, I have to get over my embarrassment here. Well, I have a little preamble before my tip. I have a friend with whom I worked in my early days of teaching. Her name is Tanya, and she's a little older than me, and she square dances, and she's just the classiest and most fun lady you can possibly imagine. So Tanya always, and I mean every day, wore a matching bra and panty set that coordinated with whatever she wore that day. Super impressive, right?
I can't even imagine how much she spent on
lingerie.
Lingerie.
I don't know.
Super impressive.
Right. Tanya used to talk about how it felt so good to have her little secret, knowing how good she looked under her clothing, even if nobody else knew about it. So that's the preamble. In these days of everyone wearing a mask,
as everyone should,
I know, right? I think that lipstick can be our own little feel good about yourself secret.
I love this.
Right? So this year, before the pandemic, I decided to start wearing a long-lasting lipstick inspired by one of my colleagues and friends, Nikki, whose lips always look fantastic all day long. So after some trial and error, I found Maybelline Super Stay Matte Ink Lipstick. Now, some of the other ones I tried still stain my coffee cup and or now my mask, but this one does not budge.
Let me just ask. I've had some of these lip ink stain things that are still there a week later, and it's not a pretty sight.
Okay, so to add to this tip, you also must, especially if you apply your lipstick at work, mm-hmm. you also need to carry makeup wipes because I have made some mistakes that have had me looking like a clown in front of my students because, you know, I put it on too fast or something. And believe me, paper towels and soap in the teacher's bathroom do not take it off. So, yeah, even so. Maybelline Superstay Matte Ink Lipstick, applied carefully, is the cat's pajamas, okay?
So you know that you're looking good under your mask.
Totally, right? It's mm-hmm. your little secret. Oh, many of our chicks in the coop have taken this recommendation on board. I wish we were getting paid for our tips and tricks. We would have made a lot of money on that one.
So true, Leia. Maybelline should pay us. I even bought one color Seduction or Seductress 3 times.
Didn't you keep accidentally giving it to Heidi, your sister-in-law, or something?
Yeah, and some like ended up with my mom, and now I have all 3 back. And it's like, what am I going to do with 3 tubes of Seductress?
Put it on every day, baby.
It's time for the Chit Chat Challenge.
Yes. Tell us about your favorite clip or episode or interaction on the coop.
Yes, we would love to hear your takeaways.
And an even bigger challenge would be to get caught up on any episodes you might have missed.
And to share our podcast with your friends.
For sure.
So that's it for this episode of the Two Chit Chat Chicks.
Yes, episode 23. Our next episode will be ways to have deeper conversations.
Ooh, we can use those tips and tricks, Leia. That's going to be a good one.
It will be. Yes, super good. So, yeah, we'll see you on January 3rd, I think it is, right?
Yes, January 3rd in the new year.
In the new year. See you then. Bye-bye.
Cluck, cluck.